says, that's going to cause sickness, that's going to cause disease, that's going to cause fat, that's going to cause ugly, that's going to cause pimples. You don't have to say, oh, where's my pimples? I really don't care. I don't have to take my pimples. Just leave that way. We might take care of your pimples. You don't have to put out any more effort. Don't tell me that grace is less efficient, the promises of God less sure than what the law has determined for the wrong. You're just kidding yourself. You're defeating yourself. And the problem is, you have a problem with the form of what you're being told. Once you get past this, then you can deal with the assent and the pledge. And we're going to do that tonight. At least I'm going to. I hope you do too, but if you don't, I'll be here, Lord willing, and I'm going to do it. Brother Rick, would you close the service in prayer? Teaching and hearing your word. Father God, I thank you for the truth. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason, the only justification for life. Without him, there is no life. Help me to remember that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes after many, many years of standing before God's people and getting a lot of either non-responses or negative responses to the truth, once in a while, I start almost accepting people's opinion of the truth and therefore and of me. And thank God it doesn't last very long. But you see, if I ever thought or believed that I needed God's approval as well as yours to get into heaven, we'd be in trouble. You know, no one would be in heaven. We wouldn't even let Jesus in. If it took two to agree, no one would be there. No one. So let's find out now what the promise depends on and why it doesn't depend, or you don't have to depend on someone else. Verse 16 of chapter 4, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end or the purpose or the end result, the promise will be sure to all the seed, not just only which is of the law. Do you get sick and tired of every time you do something wrong, the end result is so sure. There's just no escaping it. Every time you get upset and you get angry, the depression is just as sure to come. There's nothing you can do about it. The law just works. And you don't have to do a thing to make it happen. Well, that's the condition that you're in. But also I want you to know that the promise ought to be just as sure to them which, or to that also, which is of faith or of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of his own. So really what the problem is you do not want to accept the faith of the one who has spiritual authority over you. And you know, therein lies the difficulty. Wives trying to change husbands and husbands thinking they need to change wives. I don't know of anywhere where God blesses a family through the wife. Now, she is a blessing. No doubt about that. But the blessings don't come through her, they come to her through another individual. Now, having played both ends of this game, I'll tell you the truth, two is a lot more fun than through. If only the promises came through me and I didn't get to keep any of them, this would be no fun at all. Now, I'm the only one who has that double-edged kind of sword, so to speak. The rest of you sit and have the promises that the promise is to you. The problem is that you don't like the promise. If you remember from this morning, the word promise means a divine assurance of good. And in other words, it's a sermon. And I understand that most people, in fact, I heard some interesting comments today about people who come for the first time. And one person said, well, boy, that's a California church if I ever saw one. Which means, I guess, we preach different. Or maybe it's because we eat different. Or maybe it's because we are different. But you see, the difficulty is, or the assurance is, that
when a person receives the promise of God, the first thing that will happen, as soon as you buy your child a birthday present, and because it's not the other children's birthday, immediately the rest of the kids become the rat patrol. And they're going to try to find something wrong with that one that got the gift all day long. And they're going to stay that way until they succeed in breaking the brother's toy. Yeah. Now, once the brother's toy is broken and it's of no use or value to anyone, then they're bros again. But in the meantime, everything and anything they can find wrong with you, they will, trying to induce the parents to somehow retract this promise, this blessing that they chose to give to one of their children. With the hairdos and everything. I've seen that so many times, because in every family that comes here, there's always dissension, or you wouldn't be here. You're not here because you were happy. You weren't referred here because they said, now there's a place where you can stay happy. Yeah. Now there's a place where you can stay as wonderful as you are. You got referred here because you were falling apart. So you see, the difficulty is that there is a mess. Now, if what happens, invariably, one of the partners will accept before the other one and more than the other one. Now, the partner that was so upset, finding all kinds of things wrong, because that's all there was wrong. Now that this person is doing some things right, and is starting to get some blessings, now this list grows and grows and grows. And I say, wait a minute. There was a time when you were living with this person, they didn't do anything right. And this is the best you could find wrong, that was enough. But now that they're getting blessed and changing, you've gotten worse. Not worse in terms that you are worse, but worse in terms of just saying, why is he being blessed? Look at all these things he's doing wrong. Just like children. Because one is starting to receive the promise. And now it makes you aware of where you're at. And why you're there. Now remember what the word promise means. We have to finish this or you will not understand why your life doesn't change. The first definition, not the worst, but the first. And it might end up being the worst. I don't know. It depends on your frame of mind. The first part of the definition, if you remember, was information. Now, here's the thing that sticks more than anything else in people's craw. See, there was a time when your spouse or your boss or whoever told you whatever they wanted to tell you. And you never really, you kind of just take it with a grain of salt, so to speak. But one day, you came to church, and your husband or your wife start receiving this information. And now your husband's been telling you for years, women, don't do that, don't do this, you shouldn't do that. And it's just been going one way or not the other. And there's really no pressure. There's no, it just works. Who do you think you are? It's just like if nothing's happening. And people come to church and it seems like it gets worse. And I wait. See, I'm watching everything. The minute I see the husband start taking on the form of what's being taught, starts really not trying to enforce it on other people, but trying to become that themselves. Taking on the form of the information. And then all of a sudden, think about it now. What your husband used to tell you, which is going one ear and out the other, and you could care less. Now the man says the same thing, and there is a world war. You react, you get emotional, you get angry, you get depressed, you get fearful, you get every kind of emotional response that you're capable of. Well, because he's now infirm of the information. And that's why I will say at that point, that spirit has got to go. And when it goes, the other spouse, the one that's in, better let it go, or you'll go with it. And by your own choice, by the way. Now, there's lots of empty pews here and people that didn't believe that.
Oh, I'll never do that. I love my wife.
Oh, yeah? Where are they at now? They're gone. And I'll tell you why they're gone. Because the wrong spirit was ordered out by someone who had the form of the information. And you remember, those of you who are in that situation, and I'm going to speak graphically where I hear, like nobody knows a divorce, right? We thought your husband was invisible. He's working, right? Huh? I mean, can we talk? Do you have to skate around everything? I mean, why can't we be on? You're by yourself. How is it not going around town? Says, oh, my wife's invisible. Where's she? Well, she's outside. She's waiting for me in the car. I didn't have one. Okay, so look back. Are we okay now? Okay. So now we have this situation where these people say, and remember the fights? Oh, we gas some knockdown dragouts. Oh, knockdown dragouts. But see, both of you were stupid. And then one of you changed. One of you start taking on the form of the information.
And it wasn't long after that. Gone.
But remember how much time there was bickering and fight ever since you met each other. And even after you've gone here, there were some major battles until one of you took on the form. One of you assumed the position. And the minute that happened, you became, there was just no tolerating you anymore. I'll wait. I have to wait for these devious, pointed, perverted minds to run this through the whole gamut of every possible perversion there could be of what I said. I understand that. See, my mind is quicker. I already did it. I already don't see it. That was funny. I can't say that. Okay, I'll just wait. You're not different. You're just slower than I am. That's all. Are we up to speed now? Okay, let's go on. As soon as you want me to hold it, just let me know. I'll wait on you. So now, as soon as you start taking on the form, as soon as you become a representation, what do I mean? Oh, you became holy? No. You see, one of the things you've got to understand about the devil, he's a bully. He's a dog. And if you show fear to a dog, they'll eat you up. It amazes me. Ken's daughter, they have a dog that's big dog. And that dog, when you knock on the door, that dog looks out the window, and they have a big window there, and you can't see nothing but dog face. I mean, it just takes up the whole window. And people out there, they don't mess with that dog, and he barks, woof, 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 woof. And then that little girl says, shut up, and get in there, and goes in there and shuts up and gets in the garage. Little tiny thing like that gets smacked around. And that big dog cowers to her because she speaks with authority. She has confidence. Now, all I'm asking you to do is to take the form of a Christian and talk like Jesus. They'll ask you to do a thing. And if you can talk like a fool, why can't you talk like Jesus? I mean, what's the difference? The procedure is the same. So now you become a representation of something told. See, information means something told or something taught. But preceding that, it means to be a representation of something told or something taught. The best teachers on this God's planet are people who really enjoy what they're teaching. They really enjoy the kids. They enjoy the students. So you see, they become a representation of what they're teaching. And they're the best teachers. They're the ones that the students flock to. They're the ones that the students listen to. They're the ones that the students listen to and learn from. The problem is that you were taught differently. You were taught by parents who told you one thing but represented something totally different. So now there has to be, to your way of thinking, I understand this. This is why your children are like they are. Your way of thinking is, show me this, and then I got to do this. I have to do the opposite of what I see. This is C, and this is D. I have to do the opposite. But you see, here's the problem. You tell the person also what to do. Now, if you tell the person to do this, and these are the same things, but you show them something else, then they have to do something different. The teaching is, you hear one thing, you do something else. Because what you do is always different than what you see. Or what you hear is always different than what you see. Your parents taught you that way. I was the same way. Don't lie. In fact, they're teaching your kids the same way. So now what happens? We come to church. The first time in my life that I ever looked at something and said, this man is a representation of what he's teaching. Yeah. This Jesus is the actual physical embodiment of what this Bible teaches. He is the reality. Well, the first thing my mind said is, you can't do that. You have to be just the opposite of what he says. Why? Because that's my training. That was my thinking. That's the way I was trained. That's the way my mind was set up. That's the way I was programmed, if you will. Now, incidentally, herein lies the problem. Here is why we are the way we are. Now, everybody deals with it differently. And I see this all the time. I see this with God's children. These are the proper rules. These are the boundaries. These are the boundaries that God sets for you and I. These are the boundaries that we set for our children. These are the boundaries we set for our wives. These are the boundaries we set for ourselves. They're good and they're proper. This is good information. The difficulty is, when it isn't working, and it doesn't, your wife steps over the bounds, your kids step over the bounds, you step over the bounds, rather than recognize you are not in the form of your, in the form of your information. See, if you could come to that realization, if you would just trust me for that, we'd be off and running. But what happens? It becomes obvious that there's transgressions of the border everywhere. So how do you do it? The way you took the parents did. We just enlarge the borders. Just like the borders are being enlarged in her, by the way, according to the book of Revelation. Well, then, the kids start going over those borders, too. And how do you do it? You enlarge the borders again. So to your perverted way of thinking, everybody's in obedience. And in a perverted kind of way, they are. Until finally, there are no borders. Now, if there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no border, there's no disobedience. So a child who has no borders thinks they're an obedient child. That's how you were. Your parents would let you run wild. You could go, and if you were gone a week, it's all right. It didn't matter. And you thought that obedience, compatibility meant expand the borders. Well, to begin with, your borders were pretty confining. But think about it, after it was over, drugs, alcohol, disrespect, no school, no responsibility, nothing. And what did they say? It's okay. So what did they do? They just kept expanding the borders. See, because the only thing that makes you disobedient is for you to cross the border. So what happens here and in marriages? As you grow, you keep pushing against the border. And then your husband will expand the border, and you're going to push against that one too. And if he expands it again, you'll push against that one too. And it doesn't matter where you put the border, it's going to be tested. So you know what I do? We're going to have a war anyway. I'd rather have it over you giving me a dirty look, Misty. I'd rather have it over something else than to wait until she's involved in gangs and gang warfare and drugs and God only knows what else. We're going to have the battle then, but what I stand to lose is a hell of a lot more. I stand to lose my daughter. Can you explain that? I'd rather have her not like me because I won't let her give me a dirty look. Because if I don't let her run with the gangs later on and take drugs and alcohol, she's going to say, you don't love me. You're right. I'd rather have it over this. You're a fool to expand those borders. You're as foolish as you can be. That's not obedience. All you're doing is you're just kidding yourself and making yourself believe something that isn't true. But you know why you do that? Because every time there's a border, you find a way in your mind to expand the border. There's a rationalization. There's a reason why this doesn't apply to you. There are reasons why this border doesn't. Remember the reasons you used on this one? The same ones you're using here, here, and here. You know what the final border is? Right out the door. Finally, we don't see you anymore. And where are those people? People that, they started out being upset because I preached too long. But you see, it ended up anything and everything. It doesn't matter what border. I said, I'm not going to eat junk anymore. And because I took on that form, there was a fence there for him. And it took on power. But I didn't say, you don't do it. I said, I don't do it. And I took the form of that. And the border was there, set for me. But I didn't tell anyone. As a matter of fact, Karen and Misty are sitting back there. I never told them, not once, and I can show you another. I said, from now on, don't put any more meat on this table for me. I never said, don't you eat it. I never said that. And I never said that to my daughter either. I said, don't do that. I'm not eating any more of that. I'm not doing that anymore. And the minute I took on the form, boy, I knew there was some pressure there. The pressure wasn't for me. It's a decision that I had made for myself. Now, understand what I'm trying to tell you here. When you take on the form, then your information becomes a divine assurance of good. Because let me tell you something. Would you take on the form of something, start living it, come to the realization, boy, this is making me sick. These vegetables and these herbs and the still water is making me sick. It's causing putrefaction inside of my system. It's causing me to get sick, and it's causing me to get pimples. If that's the case, would you then give that information to your children and your wife? Of course not. So see, what I don't understand is if you take on the form and it works, then why is it that your borders keep expanding? You see, the problem here is inform also means to conform. See, we've got to decide somewhere along the line somebody's right. Remember, conviction of religious truth. If I'm wrong, then we're wrong, but we both can't be wrong. And we both can't be right. Because we're both extremes. Now, all you have to decide is which one of us is wrong. Now, if you honest to God believe that it's me, then you owe it to me by the shed blood of Christ to come and share with me what you consider to be right, because I do that for you. You have no right to keep to yourself that which you consider right. You have no right to say, this is right only for me and my family, and that's all. I don't care about anybody else. I thought we were a family. I don't do that to you. Even if it costs me friendships, no matter what it costs me, once I determine it's a divine assurance of good by taking on the form, you're going to hear about it. And the only way you can hear about it, by the way, is you've got to show up here of your own free will. You've got to call me. So now information comes from the word inform. And I like this word. Because inform means to give form and character to. Now, what is your problem when I say you can have the authority and your children will respect you, your wife will respect you, you will respect your word, and you will respect the word of God, and everything will be done according to God's word? Why do you have problem giving form to that? I'll tell you why. Because the minute you do that, it's going to be tested. And to the degree that you take that testing personal, to that degree, you're going to expand the borders. That's why. Because there's a legitimate right to test you. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized and the dove came down and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Do you know what's the very next thing that happened? The man didn't have time to dry his hair coming out of there. You know what the next thing that happened? As soon as he was declared to be the Son of God in whom God was well pleased? Temptation. Trial. Testing. Now, do you remember what Jesus did? All he did was he quoted and recited what he had heard in church. He'd been going to church for 30 years now. What do you think? He just kind of just said, I think according to Reader's Digest, I'm God, and I've been around here long, and I've just decided this. All he did is he quoted the scripture. For some reason, you think you've come up with some better way. Or if not a better way, at least another way that's just as good. Now, if Jesus Christ couldn't find another way that was just as good, then you're not going to either. So now we have information that literally this information is designed to give you form. See, what I'm saying here isn't reality to you until you give it form. It's like this. Let's just say this is you, kind of, okay? Okay. But you see, this is just the way God sees you. See, actually, this is the way you really are. See? No substance, no nothing. You're just a stick. You think you're hot, but you're not. You think you're hot, but you're not. Now, God said, I would like to pour you into this mold. This is a form. You know what a form is? When you form up and then you pour this, you just get a bucket of this mud, this cement, and it's just a glob. And if you just pour it on the ground, and just wherever it is, there it is. And once it hardens, you have to break it to change it. And after you break it, it's not good for anything. You know what you have to do while it's still soft and pliable? You better find the form you want it to be in. And then you pour it in that form, and you're done. Now you see, here is the form. So now all you have to do is in the form, and your job is done. But you see, the problem with form is, you see, these forms are what? These are boundaries to keep the stuff from out. See, you don't want to out. You want to stay inside the boundaries. You want to stay inside the form. And what beautiful symmetry it has, because the form is made to fit with everything else, and it's level, and it's proper, and it's correct, and it fits in its place. But what would happen if we poured all this beautiful concrete, and then you just decide, I'm going to take this one out, and this is too restrictive? What would you have? You'd have a mess. and there'd be no friend, there'd be no recognizable friend. Now here lies the problem. You don't want to be put into the form. Now this is the image and likeness of God. This is the way you are. There's really nothing to you. As a matter of fact, most of you I don't know. You know why? Because when you're at church, you look like something else. When you go home, you're different. When you're at work, you're something else. On the freeway, it just depends on where you're at. Exactly. A chameleon. You change according to your environment, according to the circumstances. And you know what a chameleon does? He always blends in with his background, doesn't he? Why? Because his eyes high and he doesn't want to be not acceptable no matter where he's at. So if he's on a green background, he turns green. Blue, purple, it doesn't matter to him. He has to conform to that that's around him. So what does that mean? Instead of you being informed, you then conform to the outside of wherever you're at. But you see, those people out there like this, so you're on the outside trying to conform to what's inside. You've got it backwards. So now what happens? You go through your entire life trying to conform to people around you. But every time you change persons, there's a different form, and the form you had before doesn't fit anymore. So now you have a different person, and you don't fit. So now you start having to change again. Having to conform again to the outside of someone else's form. And I told you, you need to be inside. You need to be inside the form. In other words, there needs to be some boundaries. You can't change them and make them as you want them, because then you're on the outside of the form. Now, when that happens, you are no longer informed. You're out of form. Inform means to form or to shape the mind and to give form and substance. In other words, it really means to develop a picture of something. To change, to give yourself a frame of mind. Now, I've told people, as long as you see yourself like this, I don't care how much you starve yourself. I don't care if you went up and down Mount Helix 20 times a day. Your frame of mind is going to control everything, and it's going to tell you, we are fatty, fatty, bimbaladdies, and this is the way the frame of mind is, this is what it wants, and you better stay that way. So you jog, you exercise, you starve, and what happens? All your body does, it goes into the starvation mode, and it saves every bit of calorie and fat that it can to keep you the way your mind is framed. But they're starting to learn that now. Now, what if, see, it's bad enough, you say, oh, man, but what if you have no borders? Huh? Well, you know what happens when there's no borders? Yeah. Now, there's only one thing that's still going and has no borders. The universe. Boy, have you got an inflated opinion of yourself. Well, now, after we have the information, after you accept this as boundaries, this is a form. This isn't a suit. This isn't a spandex. This isn't something that gives with you. This is a suit that frames you. It's a girdle. This is called a girdle. It kind of keeps things in. So now that we have this information, I know it gets a little tight. It gets a little close in there. I understand. And there's a little pressure. I understand that. How do we relieve the pressure? Well, the next part of promise. Now, understand this. You wanted this. You're the one that said you wanted the promise of God. Well, here it is. I'm starting to give it to you. All of a sudden, you're not so sure anymore, are you? Now we need assent. Let's assume that you got into the form. Let's assume that you're feeling a little constricted, but you understand not having any borders is killing you. So now it's time to assent. That's part two of the definition. Now, without a promise, and understand this, this just doesn't apply to God. When you promise each other something, that isn't it always contingent upon something? Yes, we'll go, I'll take you out to eat Thursday after work. But how are children? It's Sunday night, and you tell me, I'll take you out Thursday. Is it Thursday yet? Is it Thursday yet? Are we going to come? It's only Sunday, I'll take you Thursday. But is it Thursday? How far away is it? How many times do I have to sleep before it's Thursday? And they drive you nuts. Because they don't understand the form. It's like whatever you promise, it's got to be right now. It's like don't open for Christmas till Christmas kind of mentality. Well, here's the problem. Assent, and you're not going to get this. You're not going to change. I don't care if you're trying to change your health. I don't care what you're trying to change. As a matter of fact, this even applies great at work. You know what the problem is? I'm going to have to go back to form a little bit. There's a person in charge, and then there's flunkies and flunkettes. All over the place. They come out of the network. Okay? Yeah, they're squares. Now, the owner, the person in authority said, this is the form. This is what I want. So now if you conform to that, you're in good shape. But what happens? One of these flunkies comes and says, and then you try to conform to that. So you have to expand the border just a little bit. Well, now you're out of form here, but you're in form with this one. Well, then as soon as that one says, and then this one says, well, I'm here, and now you're trying to conform to this one too. By the time it's over, this one person says, what the hell are you doing? Well, I don't know. Well, what happened? Well, this one's not happy with you. Well, why? Because you're conforming to that one. And this one's not happy with you because you're conforming to that one. And all of these hate you for the same reason. And by the way, how come you're not doing what I told you? So what's the end result? Nobody likes you. Everybody hates you. Because you're violating. There is no form to you. Now, if you stay in form with the person who has authority over you, then you wouldn't have to worry about all of these. Now let's assume that in our spiritual life, this is Jesus Christ. Now why would you worry about anybody else? Why do you have to be so damn popular everywhere? Besides that, I'll tell you one thing. You're not as popular as you think you are. I know you think being popular means no pressure, going along, agreeing with everything. That's not being popular. That's Gumby. That's a rubber guy. You have Gumby. There's no form. You just whatever plastic guy. Now let me tell you something. Let's assume that's your form, okay? But you like to expand. You like to stretch out to comply with everyone. What happens when you take that material and stretch it out? What happens to this material which was found here? Tension. Not attention, just tension. Now, one of two things is going to happen when you have that kind of tension. Somebody's going to let go on one end or the other. Now, if we let go on this end, snap, and you're back. Before, in fact, you go back to square one, half of one. In other words, that's really big time backsliding. However, if you let go on this end, you snap the other way, don't you? But why? Because you see, what happens is you're trying to conform to both and they're stretching you apart. Now, it doesn't matter which one lets go first. All you're going to do is snap back beyond this one. Or snap over here beyond this one. And then it really gets fun when you start getting the pressure this way and that way too. And that's when you start hating your job. You start hating life. You start hating everything. Why? Because You're trying to conform there. There's no borders. There's nothing that holds you in place. You can be stretched like gum, like plastic, like bubble gum, bubble. There's no substance to you. And as a result, the minute the world finds that out, boy, they'll just put on, pushing on you, and the kids, don't do that. Mom, you're pushing on me. Doesn't that make you tense? You think, see, I watch all of that. And all I see there is a physical manifestation of what's going on spiritually. And notice something with these tension makers. Here you are, mother, father, it doesn't matter. And you're just sitting there just kind of looking into space. And your kids are everywhere. I mean, they could kill us. You have to go looking for them. Right, I told you that. Let's stay out of your way. The minute you get on the phone, all you have to do is get on the phone. Now they say being stretched by someone else. Then all of a sudden, they got to go to the bathroom. They got to have a drink of water. They need an appendectomy. They need a haircut. The windows are attacking. Just everything. Now all you have to do to set off, hang up the phone, and have nothing else to do, and you're gone. And then you look around, there's nowhere to be found. All you have to do is show a desire or an inclination to do something, and they want to stretch you in the other direction. Why do they do it? Because there's no borders. There's no substance. There's nothing to you. I've always told myself, when I'm talking, you shut up. Unless your butt's on fire, don't bother me. Now, I don't tell my kids to leave because they might be, I say, you stand right there until I'm ready. Now, unless it's obvious that there's some kind of an emergency, I'm not going to let them interrupt me. Oh, me. And the friend said, what? I know. Well, you looked at me. But really, I said, it's some big emergency. Now, here's the problem. You acquiesce to that, and you go on the job, and someone makes a mountain out of nothing. Just a complete mountain out of nothing. And you're stretching. You're coming around the mountain. You're coming around the mountain. Snap. So what I'm trying to tell you is if you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you will be molded by God. And the Bible says you're planted like a tree by the banks of the water, and nothing shall move you. You have everything you need. If you're planted by the living waters, you have the light, you have the water, you have the soil, you have the roots. What do you lack? Nothing. The problem is, you don't want the form. You don't want any structure in your life. And the reason you don't want any construction is that you would rather have destruction. But you see, you're going to have one or the other. Now, here's the difficulty. And people say to me, well, why do people do that? Well, because if there's no borders, no matter what you do, it's never a violation of anything, is it? You're always right, aren't you? Or at least you're never wrong. So you see the importance of having form. But you understand why you don't have it? Because your parents didn't want to own up to the fact that you were not obeying the rules, so they just kept changing the rules. And finally, the rule was there are no rules. So now, since there were no rules, you were a very obedient child, even though you were into drugs. You name it, you were into it, you know it. But on their side, even to this day, when I talk to your parents on those rare occasions, they still think you're as pure as a driven snow. Well, you were a he comes to church, but so what? He was good then. I remember how you were. I don't think you have forgotten. Well, what is the problem? They scammed you. You got conned. by being told that because you're in a prison with a bunch of other criminals, you're normal. And you know, they're right. If you are in a prison and you are a criminal and everybody else is there as a criminal, that's the norm. You're normal then. And that's why you think it's all right, because it's normal. But you see, normal changes by whatever the majority is doing. Now, having said that, express agreement. See, I can get Misty or anybody. I can agree with, I can smack her and make her agree. But that's not acceptance. I can threaten her, and you're going to go to your room until you're 28. And she'll do that, but I never do that to her. You know why? Because if there is no acceptance, there is nothing with the Lord. So you threaten each other. You try to get in agreement by intimidation, by holding people up, by blackmail. It has to come by acceptance. And what is acceptance? It means to take what is offered willingly. To take what is offered willingly. Now, why is it, do you understand now why I don't call people when they don't show up? I don't go chasing after people, because if you don't want to receive this willingly, there's nothing I can do. My God in heaven, if Jesus Christ isn't enough, what could I add to it? So I visit you, so what? If Christ isn't enough, there's nothing I can do. If the perfection of Jesus Christ isn't good enough for you, then there's nothing I can do. How could I ever hope to please you? So the problem is you have to accept what is given willingly. Now, I even said in my own family, I can tell when my family, when I say something and they say, yes, okay. And then that's just like that change. You can feel it. It's almost like changing the channel. You can see it. It gets done. But it wasn't done willingly. So therefore it wasn't accepted. So therefore it's not a divine assurance of good. And therefore it's done grudgingly. And therefore the next time it comes up, we got to go through the same thing all over again. And think about it, how your children do. Think about that now. The only time that you have a relationship is when you happen to hit on something that they happen to want to do at the time you wanted them to do it. And that doesn't happen. That and eclipses, full eclipses of the moon, come about with the same frequency. Now, finally, now let's assume you've ascended, and now we get down to the last part. This is what makes it work. First is information, then ascent. None of that works. This is what makes it work. This is what makes the thing go. Pledge. Pledge means to guarantee with form and meaning. Now, what does this mean? It means that the information, what you received, what you agreed to, now starts taking form. In other words, the pledge is, for example, the house is the form of the divine assurance. That motorhome is the form of the divine assurance. That woman sitting right back there is the form of the divine assurance. That young lady sitting back there is the form of the divine assurance. Each one of you is the form of the divine assurance. In other words, you're the pledge. Now, you need to understand what this word means. You think it just means binding agreement and you're stuck with it and there's no way out. Just a minute. Pledge also means a person or thing given as security for the performance of a contract as a guarantee of faith. In other words, what God is saying, I will offer a person to guarantee, and of course that's Jesus Christ. And finally, the word pledge. Now, here's the key to the word. Pledge means a person undergoing a trial period before formal initiation into a fraternity. Now, fraternity is a group
a brotherhood, so to speak, which is the church. Now, the promise is information, assent, acceptance, and then pledge. Now, pledge means formal initiation into the fraternity. In other words, you formally become a member of the family of God. Formally now. Spiritually, you did that when you got saved. Intellectually, you did that when you knew there was no other hope. But you see, it hasn't been done formally for most of you. Because if you look up the word formal, see, it's formal introduction, bringing into a fraternity, bringing into an organization formally. Well, you look up the word formal, and guess what the root word of formal is? So formal initiation into the brotherhood means it takes form. It becomes a reality. You start getting the health, the prosperity, the money, the motorhomes, the peace, the contentment. It has form. We can see it. We can touch it. We can feel it. We can spend it. Because you've been formally initiated into the fraternity, which means now it has form. The word formal, not only meaning coming from the word form, means external form and structure. Now, what's an external form and structure? That's what we get poured into, right? That's what defines your outer limits. But you see, here is the difficulty. The form that I'm in, the form that God wants to put us in, that you don't like it, is the image and likeness. Literally, we could say we're made in the form of God. We're made in the mold of God. So now we have this mold that's getting moldy. Because you don't want to get in it. You've got another perception of yourself. You've got another perception of life. So here is this beautiful mold in the image and likeness of God just waiting for you to get in and be confined by it. And then you take on the form and the image of the living God. Let me tell you something when you do that. The woof, woof, woof recognizes that little girl. Not only does that little girl say, go sit down and shut up, you don't look cross-eyed at that little girl or you're going to have fangs that deep in your butt real quick. Why? Because this little girl has the form that they recognize. Now, I'm telling to tell you that if you take on and get in the form, the image and likeness of God, you will never have a spiritual problem again. Anger won't come around you. Poverty won't come around you. Sickness won't come. What do you think? Sickness just said, hey, we can't go over there because Rube said we can't. They don't know Rube from Shmoob. What they know is the form, the image, and the likeness of God. That's what they know. So if you're in the form, they don't know what's inside. All they see is the box on the outside and it says, hey, that's a Girl Scout cookie box. There must be some Girl Scout cookies in there. They don't know what's in there, and they don't need to know. I'll tell you what's in there. A fallible human being, that's who's in there. A sinner, one without Jesus Christ, is undone and unmade like a cheap bed. Like your beds at home, undone and unmade and unswept. I like that one too. But the minute you get inside that form, you see, here's the difficulty. Satan comes and says, I saw what you did. Who do you think you are? You hypocrite? You dummy? No one's going to listen to you. Why? Because you are outside the form. And so the enemy can see. Now, why do you think all this depression and all these negative thoughts about yourself come? Somebody's doing that. Somebody is seeing and saying, well, I saw what you did. But what if this accuser of the brethren then came and didn't see you out there, but saw the form of God? And you inside, still the same fallible individual, but this enemy comes now and sees the form of God and can't see inside. You'll never have another depressed thought again. Your insecurity is out the window. Your desire to be loved and accepted here and there is gone. gone because you don't have that tight, insecure, nobody loves me, I've got to work for this or that. Why? Because you're in the image. You're inside the form. You're inside the fort. You're protected now. Now, no one can see anything. And even though you're still guilty, I can attest to that. Do you think I don't sin? But I'm inside the mold. I'm inside the form. I'm in the image and likeness of God. And inside of here, there's no difference. There's no more. But you know what the beautiful part about it is? They can't get to me. You know what else? I can't get to them. Because if I could, I would. So as long as you try to change and try to stop doing that that you have access to, you never will. I'll tell you when it's going to start. When you get in the image and likeness of God, when you start taking on the form of this information, when you start confining yourself with these borders and getting in the image and likeness of God, two things will happen. They can't get to you and you can't get to them. And really, that's the only answer. Anything less than that and you're going to backslide and backslide and backslide and front slide and side slide and upside and downside and side by side and every side, inside, outside, upside down, downside out. Everything is going to be done wrong. And why? Because one thing, you do not want to be told, these are your borders. You cannot go over that and be in the form and the likeness and the image of God. How? See, God is not a blob. There's some form. Everything that's structured, everything that's efficient, you just don't say, well, what are we going to do? Well, Detroit, let's make a car. Let's build a car. Well, what do we? Well, we need plastic, and we need aluminum, and we need fiberglass, and we need some chrome, and we need some sheet metal, and we need. So, well, let's all melt it all together, and let's just pour it out in the back lot there. And what's it going to do? It's going to seek its own level. And what are you going to have out there? You're going to have a complete mess. So what do? They take each one of those things and they pour it in a little mold, and out comes a bumper. And then they pour another mold. Out comes a bumper bracket. And then they pour another, and out comes a bolt and a nut. And then what they do is they take the bracket and the bumper and put them together and hold it with the bolt and the nut. But they all had form. They were all molded. Or just a big glob of junk in the back. What can you? It looks like that hill I got back there now where someone took all the asphalt that was left. And what'd they do? Just pitched it over what used to be the fence. Now yours truly has to go out there now and take all that asphalt apart and get rid of it because it's just a big glob. It's a big lump. But you know where they took it and poured it inside the forms, inside of the molds? It's a driveway and a tennis court. Where they just took it and threw it over the fence with no form and no mold. It's totally useless. And an eyesore. That's the reality of it. But you see, your problem again is that you were told by parents who were too lazy and too proud to admit the only thing that qualified them as parents is the fact that they were willing to participate in a sexual act that you happened to be the result of. That's as much parenting as they were into. And if your parents were sitting right here, I'd still say the same thing because your parents have sat here and I've said the same thing. But not wanting to recognize that and wanting for them to be, see, they didn't do it for you. You think your mom and your daddy just loved you and said, oh, we want him to be happy. It was a cop-out. It was the easy way for them because you're not breaking the rules. Now, if you weren't breaking the rules and you were such a good kid, how come you couldn't conform in school? How come you failed miserably in school? How come everything you joined, you always ended up quitting, whether it was the service, a marriage, a relationship, a church, school, it didn't matter. You never finished anything. Why? Because the minute it started getting confining, you had to expand the borders and give yourself some more room to do whatever you want. And in doing so, you really cheat yourself into thinking there's obedience. You cheat yourself into thinking that everything's all right when in reality there is no law, and that's why there's no transgression. Without the law, no one would know what sin was if it wasn't the law. What do you think one day we just woke up and we said, hey, let's all decide that taking God's... What's a God? What's a G-O-D? Or I don't know, but let's just decide that if we say, God damn, let's just say that's a sin. Or if we say, Jesus Christ, Jesus H. Christ, let's call that a sin. Well, what's a sin? We don't know, but that sounds like a nice word. You would have never known it was sin without the law. You wouldn't have known that it was wrong to poopy your pants until your mommy said, don't poopy your pants, I don't like that. Oh, you'd still be doing it. Don't understand the mentality. Wherever they drew the line, which was precious few, and notice where they drew the line. Whatever would affect them. Don't you dare come home like that. Don't let me see it. And if she hadn't washed it, if there was disposable diapers then, you'd still be pooping your pants. You know that? Understand what's happening here. Unless your parents would have said, hey, the rule in this house is we don't poop our pants. That's the rule. That's the form. That's the mold. Without that, you'd still be pooping your pants. Now understand that. As distasteful as that is, as obviously wrong as that is, you don't have the mentality to understand that it's wrong to poop your pants until someone tells you we have a rule against that. Then you understand it. Now, that's basic. Now, see, it doesn't take a genius to figure out, because if you did that, remember what it smells like? Remember, do you think what it could do to your social life? So aren't you happy that they've made some rules? But if you would have not come to that awareness without a rule, without law, there is no transgression, you would have never learned that. So how do we learn? We learn by being told that's not acceptable. This is the boundary. Beyond that is not acceptable, and it's not going to be accepted, and it's not going to be supported. I am not going to participate in supporting that kind of action. This is the Berlin Wall. We go no further than that. That's the only way you're ever going to learn. Now, I'm not telling you I'm going to force you to do anything. I'm just saying, this is my form, this is my mold, this is where I'm at, and anything less than that, I'm not going to participate in. Now you have the essence of the promise of the living God. But the promise isn't what you decide to do, because nothing comes from you. The promise doesn't come until we set some firm guidelines. Until the law came, there was no transgression. None. Not even an awareness of it. And you know what happens? It says the law worketh wrath. There was a time when you all got high together. You all cussed together. You all went everywhere. You did whatever was wrong. And everything was cool. Let's party on. Let's do it. And then one person said, you know, I don't want to live that way anymore. And set up some guidelines and a mold. And boy, the law came in, and it worketh wrath. Because the other person doesn't want to be confined. And you didn't want to be confined either. But you see, without the law, you're never going to learn anything. Without borders, you don't learn anything. Notice how, if I'm going to New York, what's my first clue that I'm going in the right direction? The border between California and... Boy, you are sharp. So now that tells me, because I've crossed the border. Now, if I keep going and just kind of hang a left at Phoenix, what's the next border I hit? No. New Mexico, yes. Hobbs, Hobbs, and Gobbs, Gobbs of Hobbs, and Hobbs of Gobbs, or Gobbs, whatever that place is. That's New Mexico. So these borders are frames of reference. Now, if you are heading for Oregon, and you cross the Arizona border, you're in trouble. you're going the wrong way, that's right. Why do you get upset at me? Would you rather wait until you run into Long Island Sound? Huh? You want to wait 3,000 miles until you drive into the Atlantic Ocean? Or would you better off if I told you at our center, hey, buddy, you're going the wrong way? But somewhere along the line, your pride and your arrogance will not allow you to even entertain for a moment that a border is anything other than for your good. It's a hassle. It's a personal attack. It's someone trying to show you up. And that's not the case at all. I wish you'd learn that. Because this promise and this grace is going to come as a result of that promise. And this law is going to go to the sin, and the grace is going to go to the sinner. If you don't understand this concept, see, God is not going to send the law into the mold. Everything outside is what's going to be consumed. Everything inside the protection of God is what's going to be preserved. That's what's going to be saved. Now, why do you want your money, your health, your relationships with your family and your children? Why do you want all that outside the mold? That's where it gets destroyed. Inside, there's peace and tranquility and protection. But you know what it does? It does keep everything wrong from getting in. And that's good. You know what's kind of hard to take? It keeps you from getting out. And that's the only choice you have. If you want the ability to get out whenever you want, then they have the ability to get in whenever they want. This is either a closed border or it isn't. I don't live on no San Ysidro or San Andreas or any other kind of San. The border is closed. If you're not a citizen of the family of God, you don't belong in my life. You can come around it and I'll help you to come in, but I'm not coming out there to get you. You're out of your mind. It's a jungle out there. Big bad things trying to eat me and do bad things to me out there. I'm not going out there. Give it to Mikey. He hates everything. I'm not going out there. Yes, it is restrictive. But do you have a problem being restricted to heaven? Thank you. Thank you very much. So let's have a heavenly party. And let's see. I noticed today, an acre and a half almost. And where do the kids all want to play? And or the fence. Now, I could have bought the next five lots and made the fence the other side of the school there. And you know where they would have wanted to play? Right at the fence. By nature, we try the borders. So I just make the border real close so I can just go like, see, I don't want to have to get up and go get you. See, I never have to get up and go get Misty across the room or across the way or across a crowded room. No. Stay close here. Why? Because if you don't do it, smack, real close. See, I like to handle the kids by remote control, see? So you got to reach them just right, just real close. You don't want to have to get up. I don't tune my TV that way, and I don't tune my kids that way. I do it by remote. Keep them real close. See how that works? Okay, you over? I hope you take this message with the love that I prepared it with. And I spent a lot of time this afternoon refining this. I had this all done. I could have sat there with everybody, but there was something in the back of my mind. I said, no, there's more to this. So I went in and I sat and I put in another 4 hours while all of you were enjoying. And that's good. I thank God. But you know, I just can't be away from it that long. I've got to be in there seeking some other way. Lord, how can I appeal? What's the missing? What can I do? There's something must be missing. I'll try another way. Anything. What can I do to impress upon my brothers and sisters how vital this is and how much they need it? And there I'm sitting there trying again. If I didn't get you this time, I'm going to try again and again and again and again. But I'm not coming out to get you. Mark that down. And I hope one of these days, before long, I start seeing some real borders. because your children will love you for it, your wife will love you for it, you'll love you for it, I'll love you for it, and God will love you for it. And love will even love you for it. In the absence of that, your life continues the way it's been. Brother Ken Vogel, would you close the service in prayer?